The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show, where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and the insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today we're going to discuss a pretty popular topic on Guys Guys Radio. We're going to talk about dating, and in this instance, we're going to talk about dating when you're over 40, over 50 years old. Dating itself can be a challenge at any time, particularly in these days, because things have sped up in every area of our life, and it's hard to keep up with all the trends in dating and all the vernacular and all the behaviors that are out there, and it's hard to really stay composed and be true to who you really are. But when you're dating over 50, you're dealing with a lot of other and additional variables. It's not like if you're 21, 25, you're single, you're out there having fun. When you're over 50, you're a little bit more, you're playing for keeps because you've been there and done that. You might be single when you're 50. I was. The whole notion of what a relationship is really changes when you're over 50, because people aren't necessarily looking for the same things that they were looking for when they first embarked on their quest for a partner maybe 20 or 30 years ago. Your priorities may be very, very different than what you were looking for decades ago. So we're going to get into all of that on Guys Guys Radio. My special guest, and I'll introduce her shortly, Silke Schwarzkopf, host of Second Act TV. I think you're really going to enjoy today's show.
The station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, welcome to Guys Guys Radio interview portion of our show. Today we've got a return guest, one of my favorite people. I'm a frequent guest on her show, and she's been kind enough to come back on our show and is one of our most favorite guests. The name is Silke Schwarzkopf. She is the host and producer of the wildly successful YouTube sensation, Second Act TV, where people over 40 and over 50 can get all sorts of tips on dating, relationships, health, all kinds of stuff. And I love being a guest on the show, and I love it when Silke comes on our show. And today we're going to talk about subjects that's near and dear to our heart. We're going to talk about How to get back out there in relationships and dating over 50 based on everything that Silk has heard from her guests and her own perspective, and everything I've heard from my guests, all these relationship experts, and my perspective. So right now, I want to welcome back my friend and my pal and host of Second Act TV, Silke Schwarzkopf.
Robert, thank you so much for having me back. I always love being on your show as much as I love having you on mine. And, hope we can help some people out there with, our advice and observations and opinions.
Absolutely. And, as we've discussed, is 50% of people, I think it's over 50% of people over 50 are single. Now, some of them may want to be single, and a lot of them probably don't want to be single. And it's a bumpy road out there, particularly if you're getting back in dating and you haven't been dating for a while, because things just keep moving faster and faster and faster. And you either have to keep up or you have to sit on the sidelines. So it's up to you. But we're here to help. So let's start right at the beginning, Silke. Based on what you've heard in your perspective and what I've heard in my perspective, before you're getting out into that dating game scene, what do you need to do? What's the first step you need to do to get yourself ready to get out there?
Well, you use the key word ready. You have to assess whether or not you are in fact ready, depending on what your situation is. Why are you single? Are you widowed? Big time, of course, at this age. Are you divorced? How long have you been divorced? Are you ready to actually meet someone and ready for a relationship and not bringing a bunch of stuff to the table that you really have to work through first? So I would say your mindset. What is your mindset? And do you believe that you can find someone? There is so much. Right now, especially, I think the last few years have been even tougher just with the environment that we live in now, that a lot of people have given up hope that it's even possible. And honestly, that's a self-imposed obstacle that's not necessary.
I would agree with everything you said 100%. And I would add to that I think it's another important step to get ready is to take stock in kind of before you get out there. Let's say you decide, I am ready, I want to get out there. Then I think, and tell me if you agree, Silke, I think you need to take stock in yourself. Who am I? What do I want? What do I have to offer? What has happened in my past relationships to put me in the situation I'm in now? You may be a widow or a widower. You can't really do anything about that. You may be divorced. You may be divorced a few times. You may have been single your entire life. And maybe you didn't want to be. So being circumspect and saying, what have I done to put myself in my current situation? And is there anything I could have done different? Now, this doesn't mean to beat yourself up and take all the blame for everything. You may have been mistreated and abused, and it's not your fault. But sometimes we, in those situations, sometimes people hang on because that's the behavior. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times as we age, also we hang on to things, whether it's, I'm not saying every relationship's abusive, but sometimes we're in the wrong relationship and we'd rather hang on hoping than get out there and say, I need to get what I really want. So I think taking stock of your personal self, your situation and your past is important before you move forward. What do you think?
Oh, totally. Totally. And because we are the only thing that we can control, our actions, behaviors, beliefs, etc. That's the only thing we can control. So while you may not want to take blame for everything, or maybe you shouldn't have to take blame for everything, being willing to look at what your contributions are is so key. Because we're in situations because we created them. We made choices along the way. Either they were right, wrong. Yeah, maybe we were dealt a rough, a bad hand or whatever. But as I think you already said, there's nothing really we can do about that. The only thing that we can do is going forward. So if you have, patterns in your relationships, is this maybe a second divorce? Is there something there that keeps reoccurring? Why you're single is one of the biggest questions to ask yourself.
Yeah. And I think as we age, that a lot of people will not own it. You know, they won't own their responsibility. I listen to people who are single all the time, and I've never heard anybody kind of saying, I need to do this, or, you know, it's always they did that.
Yeah.
And I understand. I get it. However, sometimes, you know, they say the universe keeps bringing us the same issues until we kind of get over them.
Bizarre.
And I think that that's the case with dating also. I know for myself, I had been in a number of, I thought, good relationships, but ultimately they fell apart. And my partners all thought failure. And I thought, hey, we had a good run, even though I was sad. And I was usually the person getting jettisoned from the relationship. But I thought, why not think of it as a positive? These were like a couple of years of my life or a couple of months or whatever. I don't want to look back and say that was a failure if there was some joy in it. But ultimately, I asked myself, what do I need to do differently? And I had the epiphany, I think, because I quieted myself and I was open to it. And I figured out that I didn't have room in my heart for anybody else. And I wasn't making the room for a partner. And I think that was a big factor. And once I got that, it was click. It went off. And I was engaged in it within a year of that. Now, that's just me. I'm not going to say it's magic and everything that happens.
Right.
But I think the circumspection and the epiphanies that can come from that can be incredibly helful. What do you think?
Yes. Oh, I absolutely. And for me, it was really understanding just how controlling I was. I never realized that I was suffocating to a large degree. That, you know, I was married for 25 years and there was a lot of other issues there. But especially when I started dating again, or I took charge right away, thinking that that was going to be, you know, appreciated, et cetera, et cetera. And then once you do talk to people, to the experts, like when I started the second act, oh my goodness. I mean, I had one epiphany after another that you would think at our age, I was then 52, that I would have known this by now. And there's a lot to be said that wisdom doesn't necessarily come with age, not if you're unwilling to see what you're looking at.
That's a great response. I totally agree. You know, relationships, just the word, I put it in quotes nowadays, because from what I've heard and what I'm sure you've heard from a lot of your guests, and I've listened to your shows and participated with you in some of them, is that the idea of a relationship, particularly when you're over 50, has a lot of different potential meanings. What have you heard? And what do you think a relationship means when you're over 50?
Well, that's a big question, obviously. It's individual. It can mean so many different things, what you really want. For example, I've been now in a relationship, your quotes, for 12 years. I met Paul online. You know, I mean, I'm living the life that I talk about on Second Act every day. So, and for many of those years, we just recently moved in. You know, we were what's called living apart together, LAT. If you don't know that acronym, Google it. It's that's a big thing, especially among our age group, because maybe we don't want to cohabitate. Maybe we like having our own space. Maybe it's a finance, whatever. But the whole idea that you don't necessarily have to live with the person that you're with is somewhat new. At least to me it was, or I didn't think about that this is a thing until I started talking about it and that's out there. So that's one thing. So you do live together, we live together, but we're not going to get married. You know, marriage just, it doesn't mean the same to us as it does to many other people. You know, is it necessary to bring the state into your relationship, which is really what marriage does. I don't want to, you know, put that down for anybody. I know there's spiritual and religious reasons, and I totally respect that. But the bottom line, you're bringing stuff into your marriage that you don't necessarily need. And I think we think about that a lot more as we start over again.
Do you hear from your guests and the experts and the folks that they speak to and the people they coach that marriage is a goal for a lot of the women out there when they're over 50, or are they more flexible and fluid like yourself and your situation with Paul?
I think they're starting to be more fluid and flexible. I think there's one big misconception is that all women want to get married. You hear that all the time. You hear a lot of all women this, all men that. And as soon as you hear that, you know, those are people who haven't worked on themselves because not, you know, everybody's the same. But that is a misconception that women want to get married again. A lot of women came out of long-term marriages where they were caregivers, they don't necessarily want to go back to that. They're enjoying their, I don't know if it's free time, but not, you know, beating or walking to the beat, dancing, what's that saying? You know, I want to go to my drum or not yours. And I think a lot of men think that, yeah, all, you know, all women right away want to tie me down, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure those women are out there. I'm sure there are women. I mean, I know there are women out there looking for men to support them, et cetera. But just like men are out there looking for women, the old nurse with the purse thing. You know, again, we're...
I love it.
You've never heard nurse with a purse. Oh, no. Yeah. The nurse with the purse. And that is... That happens when you age and you haven't properly planned financially. So to that extent, that's it. Relationships develop that you may not have thought about when you were younger.
Okay, Silke Schwartz, host of the amazing Second Act TV YouTube show. Please subscribe to it. I'm a frequent guest and there's other terrific experts on there. And I'm not an expert. I'm just a guy's guy, but you'll learn a lot and we're learning a lot today. So let's continue down that track that we're on and get a little bit more specific. Now we talk about marriage. What do you hear that women say about guys over 50 who have never been married? And I was one of them. I got married in my early 50s, but I was 50 and I was not married.
Oh, there's something wrong with you, Robert, of course. It's even worse, actually, for women who haven't been married. Because guys, you know, it's the ultimate bachelor or whatever that saying is. That's something maybe even to aspire to by other men. But my goodness, you know, the spinster, that's the worst. And you question that. Why, you know, why? And then I think, well, why should that be an issue? You know, if somebody has been divorced two or three or more times, is that somehow better than never been married? You know, the only thing you really need to consider there is, you know, is this person, if you do meet someone who's never been married, do they want a relationship? You know, why? I mean, the question does exist. Why have you not been married? You might want to figure that out, but that does not imply it by in any way that there's necessarily something wrong. They may have avoided making really bad decisions, you know, where others of us, you know, got married. I'm divorced twice. I had a practice marriage and then a 25 year marriage. And those are bad decisions. I mean, they really were bad decisions. I could have been a lot smarter. And like Treva, who's on the show, waited until, well, she was looking, but she didn't get married until 51, kind of like you, and is in a wonderful, you know, 10-year marriage now. So, I mean, it's just all over the board. And that's why it's so important that we really understand what it is that we want.
Well, maybe for somebody like yourself, you needed to go through what, you know, quote unquote, the starter marriage and then a divorce and to meet the right person. Because if those things hadn't occurred, you might not be with the partner you're so happy with now. So a lot of times when we look back, things sometimes happen for a reason. We can't beat ourselves up because Everybody is going to the same place on their journey, but everybody's in a different place. So it's also a reason to be empathetic to other people who either, you know, why is she not married? And she's, you know, 50 or approaching 50. What's wrong with her? And for the guys, I was asked, how come you've never been married? And I said, I've stayed in some relationships too long and I haven't met the right person. Mm-hmm. That was it. I didn't have any, if they didn't like that answer, then they didn't like that answer. In the meantime, I had a really good time. And, you know, frankly, I wasn't mentally ready to get married. Maybe it was a maturity thing on my behalf, but I don't think those potential marriages would have worked. Right. So I think I had to be in the right place. And the key, and I mentioned earlier in the show about having room in my heart for somebody else, that was huge for me, at least at that time, but everybody's different. So let's continue with that. How soon is it too soon to consider? And when should you talk about, are you in a quote unquote relationship?
Boy, that's another toughie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's different for everybody. Obviously, there isn't a black and white answer to that. If we do want to talk in some generalities with timelines, I mean, for me, you have to be with somebody at least a year. I mean, give it a little time to get to know this person, because the first few months, I mean, you're in your honeymoon. I mean, even the first 2 years often, it's after that time that you really get to know someone. I'm not saying that you need to wait, forever, because obviously people have met in a couple of weeks and they're still together 30 years later. So that's what I mean. There's no one good answer. But well, the question even becomes more complicated, if you will, at our age, because, there's not as much time left. So what do you give? I don't know. I mean, I still think at least, 6 months to a year before you do anything drastic with the relationship. And I see that a lot, that people do move fast and then it doesn't work out. Now, that could be one of two things. One, 50% or more of all marriages fail anyway. But statistically, what is also shown is that second, well, and third marriages are even much higher a chance of failing.
Really?
So, yes. Yeah. I don't know if it's because you just, you know, been there, done that, not going there. You pull the trigger faster. Mm-hmm. Than how you would have done it the first time. But yeah, the quick, oh my God, I'm in love. I don't know. It's just, to me, love does not come that fast. Infatuation does, the whole sexual part of it, but true love, it takes a while.
Great point. My special guest, Silke Schwarzkopf, the host and producer of the amazing YouTube show, Second Act TV. We're talking about relationships over 50. Part of the, the baggage we bring with us, whether we like to or not, is our families. And I have learned over the years that matters, that your partner's family can be a factor. I thought, I'm just with this person. She might have a crazy family. It doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. Because they're going to be around in some form. You can avoid them a lot, but it's going to be a factor. And if you're overtly avoiding them, if you're uncomfortable around them, whatever, it becomes an issue. And yes. So talk to us about that. What have you heard? What have you experienced?
Well, my experience, luckily, this after 50 with Paul, it has been wonderful. He has three kids there. We have a great relationship. He gets along great with his, ex-wife. They're friendly. We do holiday. I mean, I have the ideal situation when it comes to that. I also see a lot of people who do not have that, where, the kids object, the ex-wife or the ex-husband just will not accept somebody else because they were left there. And it does. It absolutely can ruin your relationship. We've done videos on that, dating with adult children, and what the red flags are around that, and what you can and cannot tolerate. But believing that the family doesn't matter, that's no, slap yourself. It does.
Yeah. And what can we do to kind of to get over that? To me, it's a chemistry thing. It either kind of works or kind of doesn't. And sometimes I find myself in other relationships kind of projecting, okay, she's going to turn into this, or, is this a craziness that runs in the family or whatever? And in my opinion, there's not much you can do except grin and bear it or embrace it. It could be a really great situation, or run like hell because things could get rocky fast.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I knew what I want to add as an answer here or contribute as an answer is boundaries. You have to have boundaries around this. What are you willing to put up with? Yep. And in my 25-year marriage, it was miserable with the kids. I knew that I was never going to do that again. And so when I did meet kids, or when I did hear about family situations, that was something I was very aware of. And with Paul, it was, right away, you knew that this is just a really, you know, loving family where those kind of judgments did not exist, that I didn't have to worry about that. And, but it's just, yeah, it's so, so important that you know what you're willing to put up with, because you are, when you're, if you're, especially if you're getting married, you're marrying the family. You're not just marrying the person you're, yeah.
I have found in my, with my wife, we're kind of like, I wonder if this is, you've experienced this or heard this, is that we're both kind of the outliers in our family. I'm not going to say the black sheep, because I don't really like that word. It just, you're a little different. That doesn't, black sheep sounds like you're an outcast. We're not really outcasts, but we're kind of outliers. We're not really, mm-hmm. we don't fit in that well to the rest of the family situation on both mm-hmm. sides. It's, mm-hmm. it's nice. It's fine. But it's not really like as intimate as it is with some families, with everybody's together all the time. And we're kind mm-hmm. of a little bit quirky and a little bit different than other members of our family. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And what have you heard about that?
Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Where it becomes quote unquote wrong is if you try to, or attempt to alienate your new partner from their family because you can't stand the family. I mean, that can get into like even narcissistic abuse or something, that which is, that's a whole other topic. So it's a matter of, you know, are they just kind of quirky and you really don't like being there? And yeah, the two of you really prefer to be together and not, you know, create all these family occasions. Or is it one partner really trying to influence the other one to distance themselves from the family, or, you know, the kids especially? That I see that all the time.
Let's get into some of the specifics, because, you know, when we're at a certain age, you know, there's going to be the financial issues, mm-hmm. there's going to be health issues, and there's mm-hmm. going to be political issues also that we've experienced in the last 10 years.
No,
that we didn't before, though. I mean, before that, that was never an issue with the relationships. And now, you know, it's become so polarizing, and it's changed mm-hmm. also because some people have kind of evolved their thinking over the past 5 years, even based on all the different things that have happened. So let's start with money. How important is your partner's financial situation when you're entering a new relationship when you're over 50? Let's start with money, and we'll move to health and politics.
Well, it's very important. You know, if I'm financially stable and I know I can support myself because I plan for retirement, I don't want someone who didn't do that, who's in debt. I mean, no matter how much I might be attracted to this person, how much fun we might have, finances will ultimately come into the picture and likely may ruin that. If there's resentment or that kind of thing. Now, there's some situations where it's such a vast difference when somebody is truly wealthy. And, you know, when you have so much money, that what are you going to do with it? You know, money is there to spend. So if you have somebody you really love who isn't, you know, just with you for your money, well, then spend it and have fun. And that goes for both men and women. I'm actually thinking of some of my female friends who are my best friends who are exactly in that situation. You know, and it's like, well, can't take it with you. Let's enjoy it. But if it comes to where someone's taken advantage of it or creates situations where whatever you wanted, now you're paying their bills. No, that's you need to know that ahead of time.
You know, and the sometimes what happens is the person who has less money is more mm-hmm. generous.
Yeah. Sometimes, absolutely.
that's a contrarian way, but sometimes that happens. So let's talk about health a little bit, because as we age, we get into health situations. Now, there's two type of health situations. One is you're getting to know somebody who you know has some type of affliction. I remember when I was dating one gal, one woman, she said to me, "What meds do you take?" Mm. And I'm like, she worked in the healthcare field. And I said, "I take a multivitamin. Does that count?" You know, because mm-hmm. I don't take any meds. And but that was part of the qualification process, I guess. But so there's what the person's current situation is, but then it's also what can happen during a relationship where somebody is stricken with some type of, you know, illness, or they need an operation, or this or that. How does that factor into when we're over 50 in relationships?
Is that a big issue? Yeah. I mean, obviously, factors into it. There's two different stages, I guess. One is getting to know someone and asking about it. Then, like you were asked about your meds and making, you know, in some ways, depending on what it is, you're sort of predicting the future or projecting to the future about stuff that may not happen. Then is okay. You are in a relationship and something happens. You know, do you stick with this person? You know. I guess the best way to answer the what meds are you taking? Is that a good, valid question to ask? It is. Is it, would I want to? And here's the reason I say that, and I'll be very open. I was like you, never took, you know, took my vitamins, and I've been a health buff all my life. And recently I had a terrible bout with high blood pressure. No explanation. I mean, I'm under the care of with a cardiologist now who has no idea what happened. My blood pressure just shot up, and now I'm on four different blood pressure medications that they're trying to get me off of, and which I think says that maybe I'm have a mental thing going on or stress. But yeah, I think somebody might be concerned at this point. If I was single, mm-hmm. and they, you know, that would be something I'd want to know about. Maybe, you know, because it does, that it can present all kinds of issues. So is it important? Absolutely. I think also what's important there is the willingness to take care of yourself, because there are people, I mean, let's face it, especially in the United States, that are just overweight, unnecessarily overweight. Obesity is one of the biggest killers, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you're unwilling to stay healthy, that's a lot different than dealing with an illness that, you know, you didn't really, that came on suddenly. So again, lots of stuff to think about. And unfortunately, it gets more and more important and dominant as we age. It's part of aging.
Fair point. Okay. Politics. Obviously, we recently came out of the election, and I noticed on social media, like 4 years ago, the guys were posting about Trump. This election, mm-hmm. the women were posting about, you know, about freedom, with their perspective of, with not freedom, but more about
choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even after the election, you see, you know, the responses, and obviously in the 2020, it was, you know, a lot of upset, angry, saying it was a false election. And now this time you have a lot of people who are very upset with the result also, and mm-hmm. taking it a little bit differently. There's more of a, I would say, like a bitterness about it. Like, how can we have this? And it's just, it's a very, can be, politics can be incredibly polarizing, and
yes,
they can impact, I would think, now, because we've been in this situation with you-know-who for a while, that it can be an issue with the relationship. What have you heard, and what do you think?
I've heard that's been big, especially in the comments. I get, you know, we get thousands of comments, and over the last 2 years, when it comes to finding love and what are you looking for, what not, politics mm-hmm. has been on the top of the list. And up until maybe 2 years ago, you know, I always felt that you can politics doesn't have to be the most important thing. There's a great book that I had the author on, I Love You, But I Hate Your Politics, written by Dr. Jeannie Safer and Richard Brookhiser, who has been the senior editor of the National Review for over 35 years. He is about as right as you can get, and she's about as left as you can get, a New York therapist. And they have the most wonderful story to where, it's like, yeah, you know, you can deal with this. The answer is don't talk about it, you know, and there are relationships, there have been relationships, you know, with two different political views. I think we're in a situation now where that's almost impossible.
It's tough.
And I hate to say that, but there is no way I could start a relationship knowing somebody is not, you know, doesn't think the way I do. There are enough problems that we're going to have anyway in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's not go in understanding and knowing that there's going to be, it could be daily frustration. And I really do. I hate saying that. I'm just being very, very truthful.
You know, I think part of it is It's the not knowing, because I think on both sides, a lot of people think that this person represents this and this person represents that. And it may mm-hmm. not be as simple as that. There's a mm-hmm. lot of layers to it. And I've just spent this past election season kind of listening and witnessing, because it's very interesting what's happened, because there's a lot of contradictions going on both sides. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple as we are this and they are that. And that's how mm-hmm. everybody points to each other. But it's not really like that. If you break down and get into issue by issue, there's a lot of, oh, I didn't know that. And well, maybe they're right on that. And they're wrong about this. And I think that's what we need more. We need more dialogue when it comes to that. And I think when it comes to relationships also. So maybe those things can work. I don't know. My wife and I are kind of in the same space there. So that helps. Let's get mm-hmm. to the big issue, the big one, sex. Because sex changes over time. And, you know, from my experience, it can get better. The more you're with one, like, mm-hmm. dating around is dating around. When you're with one partner, I think the sex can get better because you're more focused. It's more of a spiritual practice that way. There's an energetic exchange mm-hmm. and you can do a lot more when you're involved with one person than just playing the field, if you will.
Absolutely.
And it's safer also. But the chemistry, everybody's got different sexual chemistry. I mean, I've been in enough relationships to know what, wow, I'm a horn dog and she is, and that's great. And she isn't, and that's not so great. So it's getting on the same page is one challenge, but then over time, the people evolve in terms of their sexuality and their need for sex. And it changes also, I think there's a male female component to that where we go through physical changes in our lives.
Yes.
What's your take on sex over 50 as being a factor in a relationship?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And there's so much misconception around that as well. We have some really, really great segments on that with Joan Price. She's an author. She's an advocate for senior sex. I mean, Google her. She's great. Or watch one of our segments. What it basically comes down to is that we don't lose, like women lose their libidos. That's another thing. And all women lose their libido. Yeah, some do. Some absolutely do. As men, you know, there's erectile dysfunction. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that if you just know what you're dealing with. And I mean, this can all be overcome. What I'm trying to say is that we redefine sex as we get older. That what, you know, what really is sex to you? Is it intercourse or, you know, is it everything else that goes along with it? And to me, those conversations have been so interesting when you take, especially for our demographic, you know, we didn't talk openly about this. We didn't. The kind of conversations that we're able to have now would not have occurred 40 years ago. And so when we're thrown into this environment now, it's, yeah, lots of women our age believe, you know, sex is intercourse and a penis, a hard penis. Hope I can say that on your show. I mean, it's physiological fact.
You did. It's okay.
That means something in terms of, you know, the attraction, or we just have to redefine what our physiology says about us and what it says about our relationship to the other person. And I just find it fascinating. And I absolutely agree with you. It can be so much better. I mean, my sex life after 50, that's when I really started enjoying a sex life. And I heard that over and over and over again from both men and women.
Yeah, and it may not have to be as frequent when you're over 50 as when you're in your 20s, when your mm-hmm. libido is dialed way up high. And also, I think the conversations can be different now, that people are willing to talk about things, one, because they're over 50, but also we're in a much more open space to talk about things in our culture. And when we were in our 20s, for us boomers, like, then it was just, you know, fast and a little sloppy and there was love and everything, but, you know, everybody was on the move. It was the sexual mm-hmm. revolution. So things were different. So mm-hmm. it is a factor. So let's see where else we can go here. The shared interests, I think, is an important thing, because I know your partner, Paul, he's a big golfer and you're a fitness enthusiast, and I stay in shape. And now my wife, she's a yoga teacher who teaches yoga teachers, but she doesn't practice that much. But now pickleball, I interviewed somebody who was a pickleball writer, and we have pickleball courts where we live, and we start playing. And now my wife's like, why aren't we playing pickleball today? So now it's pickleball, shared activity. And I was careful on that stuff, because when you start playing competitive sports with your partner, you know, everybody takes sports on differently, mindset wise. Some people are super competitive. They have to win at all costs. Other people just want to play. What is your take on, and what have you heard about shared activities as glue for the relationship after 50?
Yeah, I think it is. I won't call it glue, but I think it's I think it's very important, or that at least you can appreciate the other person's, what they like to do, if you will. Here's what I mean by that. As you referenced, Paul's a huge golfer. He even has a golf tournament every year that he's had for 36 years. I help him coordinate it. I help him put it on. I love everything about golf and what goes into that, except playing it. I don't want to hit that little ball, and I don't want to learn. To me, it's nothing but frustration. And that works well for our relationship, because that's when he has his alone time. Mm-hmm. He can go to the range, he can put his music in, he can hit balls, you know, he goes with his buddies and plays, and that's his alone time. To where it's funny, because when people say to me, or say to us, you know, oh, Silke, why don't you take lessons? You know, that's like Paul's worst nightmare. So in that sense, the shared activities, it's in a different, it's packaged a little different. Now we play pickleball as well. And pickleball, that's a defining, that game is a defining mark in where relationships are going. I had somebody on the show, the president of pickleball dating, they now have a pickleball dating site. What's good, not just quickly, about pickleball is such an easy way to not only be competitive, to be, stay in shape, stay around people who are active, but it's social. You have to talk to people, and it's short. Each game is what, maybe 15, 20 minutes. I mean, it's a great way to meet people. And so, in that sense, I know a lot of people that I've met on the pickleball courts who are now together. Even one is even married.
Okay, speaking of which, and one of our last questions, and again, my special guest, Silke Schwarzkopf, host of Second Act TV, best place, well, let's give some real tips as we're checking out here. Best place for people over 50 to meet prospective partners? I guess pickleball.
Yeah, pickleball is absolutely, and then I was surprised when I had that segment on how many negative comments I received on that. Well, no, I don't like pickleball. I'm not going to do that. Pickleball. and then I realized that, it does have a fitness implication, and people might have been, offended at that. I don't know. But yes, I believe pickleball is a great way to meet people. I think, the meetup groups, I think that's one of the great things, because you're meeting people who are there to do the same thing you are. So you already have something in common. And if you can filter those out, by age, to where you're not showing up at a meetup group with a bunch of 30-year-olds, that's a great way to meet. I mean, online dating, I mean, people are hating it. That, I have to admit, it's become on some level really ugly. The swipe culture has kind of ruined online dating, and we really have to get our heads clear that this is just a tool to meet someone and hopefully take all the negativity out of it, rejection. But again, that's a whole other conversation by itself. I think maybe the best way to sum that up is just be open to me, that even if you are out, be present, don't be in your phone, be approachable if that's what you want. Smile, look at people, in really in any situation, in line at the grocery store. I mean, it really comes down with how we started this show, is your mindset.
Absolutely. And a great way to close it out. Silke Schwarzkopf, our special guest, Guys Radio, She is the host and the producer of the one runaway sensation on YouTube, Second Act TV. I love being on the show and I love having you here. And thank you for an incredible interview and lots of great tips. And we're going to do it again.
Absolutely. Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you. Silke Schwarzkopf, everybody.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, another wonderful conversation with my pal, Silke Schwarzkopf, host of Second Act TV. And over the last couple of years, we've shared a lot of conversations both on Second Act TV, where I'm a frequent guest, and also Silke comes on to my show where we do a little bit of a deeper dive in terms of relationships and a lot of things for folks over 50. And I think today we learned that there are, as we mentioned, a lot of different variables to consider when you're in the dating game over 50. But the first thing you have to do is really you have to respect yourself and put yourself as number one and first. And that means part of that is to take stock in who you are and what you are and what you have to offer and what you're looking for. So you don't want to be in a position where you're wasting time. When you're young, you can go out there and be a little more frivolous, a little more organic about the process, and dating is a fun sport at that stage of the game. When you're over 50 and you have some tread on the tires, if you will, and you've had some life experience, whether it be, you know, kids, divorce, death, job loss, financial issues, health issues, there's so many variables. There's so much life that comes into context when you're dating over 50. So it makes it, to me, doubly hard to find the right partner. Yet it's possible. I've mentioned my story many times on the show where my wife winked at me. She had a weekend pass on Match.com. She winked at me, and now we've been married for a number of years, and we're happy. So it can happen. But you have to first start by considering your own situation. What do you want? What do you have to offer? Who you think you really are? What have you learned from your relationships that have worked and the ones that haven't worked? And if you're out there and you're single, or newly single, well, obviously there's some things that maybe haven't worked out the way you wanted them to. And that doesn't mean it's your fault either. You have experience. And the point is, what have you learned from the relationships that didn't work out? Because, you know, ultimately love is a two-way street. People can do bad things to each other, but we all have to take some responsibility and accountability. We have to pay attention to what's going on so we don't have those same things. We don't put ourselves in the same position to have the same things that we don't like to happen again. So that's incredibly important. So start with yourself. Take care of yourself. Respect yourself. And when you get into the process of dating, a new dating for the first time, and maybe a number of years, make sure that you maintain the utmost respect and love for yourself first. But have some fun and be kind. If it doesn't work with somebody, then move on, but be kind about it. Don't just ghost people. So that would be my advice, and I think we learned a lot today on the show. So thank you, Silke Schwarzkopf. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.